There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here on this Thursday. Live local talk over the hour. Big thank you to Jeff Sessions, who joined us in the first hour. I do want to get into another very long press conference from the president and vice president and the whole team there. We have to spend half the show naming off all the people that show up on stage here to give that update when it comes to the fight against coronavirus. But one of the discussions that came up was something actually Dalton and I were investigating pretty much right after we got off the air for the morning show. So so Doug Holton, who you hear here in the falls talking Auburn sports, Doug sent us a link to an interview that had happened this morning. And then Dalton had seen part of this on, I think, Tucker Carlson's show last night, and a discussion of a drug that is not a brand new drug. It's a drug that seems like it has just found maybe a new use. Okay, so here's a little clip of the president talking about this drug.
It is known as a malaria drug, and it's been around for a long time, and it's very powerful. But the nice part is it's been around for a long time. So we know that if things don't go as planned, it's not going to kill anybody.
All right, and the availability?
And it's shown very encouraging, very, very encouraging early results. And we're going to be able to make that drug available almost immediately.
All right, I want to talk about this some with Dalton as well. But this drug is something that it combined with another, they're showing right now that has very high efficacy against coronavirus. Now, this is it's something that I guess you have to do the testing in the fact that you use it for this purpose. But this drug, as the president said, this drug is something that is that's present, that is not like it has to be made, not like it's just in small amounts out there. This is something that I guess, and I'm at this point, because there's so much of this that is not known. I mean, this is brand new. Obviously, if we had this a while before, we wouldn't maybe be in the situation we're in. But hydroxychloroquine, I think is how you pronounce this, hydroxychloroquine. And it is a, let's see, it is a drug that was used in malaria treatment. It's an anti-malarial, and it would be used, available most immediately to treat coronavirus. It is a, there was something else they were combining it with, weren't they, Dalton?
Yeah, they've been combining it with an antibiotic. And
just a Z-Pack, that's what it was.
A Z-Pack.
Yeah, a Z-Pack.
That's right, and there's a trial that they've done in France, and I'll tell you about that here in a minute. But with this this drug, chloroquine, and I guess it has a brand name, Plaquenil, and that was actually approved back in 1955, and it is an anti-malaria medicine.
Okay.
And the good news about it, like you just heard the president say, is it's been around for a long time. So we just about know all of the side effects that are possible from it. But another good benefit is that it's cheap. And if, you know, a couple hundred million Americans need to take this, a lot are going to probably be paying out of pocket, or their insurance companies will be paying for it. So the cheaper, the better, as long as it works. And I think it was Wuhan. A Chinese journal out of Wuhan. And I've got so many tabs open right now that I'm trying to find the
almost look like me with the number of this
part here. But Wuhan released and of course Wuhan, the epicenter of this. And
right. You
know, scientists and doctors in Wuhan were telling us about this outbreak really early, and the Chinese government was kind of trying to cover up what was going on there. But I do know that they'd been studying this drug in Wuhan, and they said that it has a pretty good success rate as they're testing it against their exact words. We predict that the drug has a good potential to combat the disease. And then on in Marseille, France, they began the first patient trial of Plaquenil. And what they did there, they had 36 patients, so not a huge group, but 36 patients were enrolled in the trial, 16 infected in the control group, and then 20 treated patients. And what they did, they gave the test group 600 milligrams daily of this Plaquenil, and by day three, 50%.
Which is also, so we, because it's all new, hydrochloroquine is Plaquenil. They're the same.
That's right. Hydrochloroquine, okay. Right. So is Plaquenil. That's the name they have. So they have these 36 patients that entered this test group. They treated 20 of them and left 16 untreated.
Okay.
And of those 20 that they gave the medicine, 6 were treated with both Plaquenil and the Z-Pak, the antibiotic. So you've got 14 just treated with Plaquenil, which is the drug we're talking about here, 6 that were given both Plaquenil and the antibiotic, and then the rest, 16, were left, you know, infected without any of the medicine other than presumably trying to keep them alive.
Yeah, they were the control group.
So of those results, 5 tested negative by day 3, the ones that were given the antibiotic and the Plaquenil, all 6 had tested negative by day 6, meaning the virus had completely left their body by day 6.
So after 6 days.
Mm-hmm, after 6 days. And by itself, the Plaquenil, which is the chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine that we're talking about, they also had better results than the people that were completely left out of the study group that were infected.
So the best combo is the Z-Pak with the hydrochloroquine.
Exactly, the Z-Pak with the hydrochloroquine. Now, how long will it be before regular everyday Americans that have been diagnosed with COVID-19 will be able to get their hands on this? The president initially in his press conference said that the FDA had already, that it had been short-tracked and had been good to go. But when Dr. Stephen Hahn, the FDA commissioner, was asked about it, he said that actually first they're going to have to use it in a clinical trial. And so I don't know how long that will last, but they are going to do a as quick as possible trial on this drug to ensure that there aren't many side effects that would be worse than, you know, just living through coronavirus for a lot of these people. Trump also said other...
But it's been around. The nice thing is there's a lot of that can be fast-tracked, right?
And it won't have to be a 12 or 18-month trial period like
And this is not a vaccine, y'all. I saw somebody say, so the vaccine, they're still working on that. The vaccine, that's one track. They're working on the vaccine. Mm-hmm. This is to treat once somebody has it.
That's right. Trump also said other antiviral medications will be fast-tracked for FDA approval. And Dr. Hahn, speaking on this a little bit more about the clinical trial, said we'll collect the data and make the absolute right decisions based upon those data about the safety and efficacy of the treatments. Trump said the White House has slashed red tape to help speed up the approval for vaccines and other treatments. And they also, they put into effect the compassionate use for the FDA, which allows patients that are, you know, critically ill at this point to use drugs that have not yet been approved by the agency, which I'm sure anyone with a really sick family member or who's
might
sick
well
themselves
try. Yeah.
Might as well give it a shot. But it is, you got to remember one quote from Dr. Hahn. He said, "What's also important is not to provide false hope. We may have the right drug. It might not be in the appropriate dosage form right now, and it might do more harm than good." But any hope at this point is a good thing. Who might get it first? Trump said he spoke with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday about chloroquine. Governor said he wanted to be first in line to access the drug for that state. And Trump said basically that once this is out there and available, the states will be able to get it on their own.
Okay, we'll come back with more on this and any questions and comments at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. And my gosh, the number of things in the news cycle there, we're doing our best here to keep up with them. And, you know, we...
just because we don't talk about every subject doesn't mean it doesn't go on our list of things to do. The thing that has caught my attention today has been this hydroxychloroquine, mm-hmm. or you said the official pick had some other name. I don't know. I'm just learning here.
What is it? Plaquenil?
Plaquenil, that's it. What about the safety of this? Here's Elizabeth Cohen from Westwood One. Here's her update.
The president said, oh, it's not going to kill anyone. Actually, French researchers have written an article in a medical journal about chloroquine for coronavirus, and they say it is safe generally and very well tolerated and doesn't usually cause serious problems. And that they said there is a narrow margin, that's the term they use, between a safe dose and a toxic dose. And a toxic dose is associated with life-threatening cardiovascular problems.
Okay, so there's... So I guess Elizabeth Cohen, she had to pull back from actually saying that something was good about the president there at the end of it. But yeah, I think with if she's saying that if you don't give the medicine in the right dose, it could be bad for the patient. That's true on lots of stuff.
Exactly.
And like I'm not the hydrochloroquine guy. I just learned it today that it even exists. So mm-hmm. But let's do things scientifically, but let's be positive. If mm-hmm. this is, because one of the things I said to Jeff Sessions last hour that's just been on my mind, and I want to ask more people that are in the financial realm that are much smarter than me in this, is you look at financial crash or one of those, then we had fundamentals that were flawed and broken in the economy. What is different in the economy today and the economy a month ago? It is a virus. Mm-hmm. We didn't have anything. There was no change in, you know, interest rate or subprime loans or those kind of things. Now, I've questioned for years how the economy was chugging along, how equities were holding their value, because I didn't see the returns of what people were paying. I thought people were paying too much for equities and they were running up. But since everybody agreed that that was the thing, that was a fair price, nothing changed in the economy other than a virus. So if we have something like, you might say, well, who cares if there's a drug that gets people better faster? Well, if the economy is still solid and it's only the fear over this virus that has caused this fall in the markets, people not being able, if people get back to work, then that economy is still there. Mm-hmm. It might be under a little bit of dust, but it's still right there.
Yeah, and even if we were due for it to fall some, of course, when this hit America and hit the rest of the world, it was going to fall to there, and then we've seen it fall then some. But I do Absolutely. Wonder if we do get back up to 100% running, and obviously the sooner the better. I mean, we're talking hours and days for a lot of business owners. That the faster the better if we can get up and running. But as a guy who knows nothing about the markets, I've heard, you know, on both sides, oh, we're due for. You're always due for a correction.
From the start of a bull market, you're just counting the days into a bear market mm-hmm. or a correction inside a bull market. It's just a natural thing, but that often deals with some kind of the cache gets full. You know how on your computer the cache gets full and you mm-hmm. have to it starts running slowly. Same thing can happen in the markets. That's one discussion, but obviously for the traders out there, the cash wasn't full. The economy was still moving along. So this is driven, I mean, pretty. Are there other comorbid factors maybe in it? But the big main one here is coronavirus, and then the fact that to get through this, we have to quarantine and people can't go to work, people can't conduct normal business, people don't get paychecks. So I just something that's on my mind is gnawing in my brain that if you have hydrochloroquine mm-hmm. or something else that takes the number of cases, takes away the deadly element of the, getting to those people in our population who it could be fatal for, if you have a cure, it seems to me it stands to reason that in a month's time, that market should turn around. That economy is still there. There's no fundamental has changed, and now the virus is gone.
Well, you know, there's so many people that are in the media. There are so many people in general that just love trashing America and Americans as often as possible, and they live here in this country. I do want to remind people, and it came up today with this discussion of the possible medicines that could really help us get out of this outbreak quicker than a lot of people are saying is possible. We have so many ultra bright people that have been working in medicine, and this thing comes along so quickly, and then all of a sudden we're putting them, I'll use the analogy, we're putting them in a 2-minute warning They got to go down the field, and they got to win the game. And I'm sure some have been working hard on this for since they've started hearing about it. We've heard about this this chloroquine, which has been Plaquenil is what it's called in France, and I'm not sure how many other countries they call it by the name Plaquenil. But you've also got a couple other things that the FDA is looking at, and that the president mentioned today. This one drug, Remdesivir.
We're doing our best, y'all, pronouncing these names. So,
yeah, there's no MD next to my name anywhere. But Remdesivir, and the president mentioned that in his press conference also. He said it's very near approval for use by the FDA. And Han, the Dr. Han that was up there, he said that it's currently undergoing clinical trials. It's actually following the normal FDA process. So it might be a little further along than the other drug we were discussing. But he said here he was declined to comment on ongoing commercial arrangements, so we're not sure when that might be available commercially. And then I thought this was really interesting. Another experimental treatment that they've been talking about, using plasma that's been derived from blood taken from coronavirus patients who have recovered, and injecting that into patients who currently have coronavirus, and using that maybe as a way to jumpstart the immune response in these other people. So these are the three things that I've heard most about here recently. Obviously, if we could hit on one or all of them, that would be the best thing. But, you know, anything for some good hope during this this time right now.
Absolutely. And like I said, there's a dual track on this. We have the number one discussion of fighting this virus. But I will say this, the impact, if we do this correctly and navigate this correctly, the economic impact on the average American is going to be way more than a medical impact, right? This is the economic impact of this is touching every American. Somebody will text, well, I know my uncle. Okay. Every American is going to have some impact from this, from the economy.
Right.
It's not going to be every American that has the impact from it from a health side, even a loved one having it. And that's a tough thing. That's a tough thing with this disconnect. I think that's the frustration so many feel with this economy, is that because a percentage, and we're trying to protect that percentage of people, which is the right and good thing to do, we're trying to protect them, 100% of the people will feel an impact in the economy.
Yeah.
And that's
no
a
doubt
tough
about
thing
that
to work through.
A couple other things I want to bring up that I found today, the State Department, I'm sure you've seen, they're expected to raise their global travel advisory to level 4. So they're now asking Americans to not travel abroad at all, unless you need to get home or something.
Well, there's that secondary effect, and they're talking about that some in China, that you get something under control, and then those people that have been that left the country, here they come back in, and you have a fresh cases coming back into a place where you'd solved it.
Yeah, and I was reading that in a couple of the past pandemics, including the Spanish flu, and they named one other one, that it came back two or three times, or a second or a third time, and sometimes the casualty rate in the second and third instances of it returning to a country were actually worse than the first time. And so that's something you got to keep your eye on. But I did find some good news too. I guess Nature Medicine released a report today and found that within the city of Wuhan in China, that the death rate was actually, it looks like it's lower than they originally thought. Remember, for
how
a while
you
there,
count that.
I don't know. I don't know whether it's misinformation from China that's putting it out there, or if panic took over. I don't know, but originally they were putting the death rate at right around 3.4%, and now they're believing that it was more around 1.4% likelihood of dying. So 1.4% still high. Remember,
significant.
The flu numbers we were talking about were 0.01% here in America, but 1.4%, you'll take that over 3.4% any day.
Any day.
This was a report from Nature Medicine that came out today. So I'm going to look into that a little bit more too, and see how accurate that is, and whether we'll get other sources saying the same thing.
All right, we'll come back, talk more about that. Also, talk about one of those things that has closed, at least in the physical world, that is probably an issue for a lot of us. That's the License Commission office, and Nick Matranga, License Commissioner for Mobile County, is going to join us here in a second. I also want to give you this message, because one of the nicest folks I know, big fan of Patty at Allegri Market, she sent me a note here, and thank you, Patty. I think we all can keep getting reminded of this. She said, remind people to be kind It's a good word. Be kind and positive when out shopping. We're really trying hard to keep our stores stocked and have what customers need. And that's been a discussion, people going out there, the empty bins you've seen pictures of and all that. And you're getting fresh local produce from the folks at Allegri Market. And I know Patty personally, known her for a while, and she lives up to the being kind. So y'all do that. Act. You know what? Patty says be kind, and that's the nice way to say it. I'll go Sullivan on y'all. Y'all act right or I'm going to backhand you.
And when you have the means, tip better than you normally do.
Way better. Absolutely. Well said. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 on this Thursday. All right, traffic issue here coming in. Really bad accident. Texter says really bad accident. I-65 northbound at the Highway 225 exit, which is the first exit you get off after you get off the... He says the Dolly Parton Bridge, but after you cross over the Delta on 65, that's a Stockton exit, 225 there. That's so the accident is northbound at that exit. Let's see, vehicles overturned, rescue personnel on scene, and traffic backed up for several miles. Traffic not moving at all now. Alabama State Troopers have the traffic completely stopped. So once again, if you're heading northbound, if you're out cruising across the Delta, remarking on how high the water is there under I-65, and you're heading northbound, you're getting ready to get stopped up there. So this is 65 northbound at the Stockton exit, 225 there. More information on this we'll pass along to you here on Midday Mobile and throughout the afternoon on FM Talk 106.5. I mentioned in studio, my buddy Nick Matranga, License Commissioner for Mobile County, and that is one of these many things that we've talked about, closing their physical front, right? Is that the way I would say you're closing?
Yes, Sean, it's our front door open to the public there.
Yeah, so that is by the nature of the fact that there's a lot of hands and a lot of coughs and those kind of things that
we're probably the most highest traffic organization here in Mobile County. We handle almost 1,500 to 2,000 people a day throughout our five offices, and at the end of the month we have almost 2,000 people just in that one office alone over at Michael Square.
You are one of those places that government touches people's lives more often.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right.
Pretty much.
You're the front door to local government, so had to close.
Well, we do this for the public safety and the safety of our people also. We have some people that are high-risk people that are personnel in Mobile County, and also we just, for the public good. That doesn't mean we have to stop our business. We're doing our operations on a limited basis. It's taking a little bit different time than your normal 10-minute tags here, but our website, people can go to that, and there's about four different ways you can renew your license online, or your tag. You can do it online by phone and by mail, and also your driver's license you can do online also. A lot of people are unfamiliar with that feature there.
I'm raising my hand.
There you go.
So how do I do that?
You got your computer in front of you?
I do, right here.
All
Let's
right,
do it
to
together.
MobileCountyLC.com.
Okay, so we're doing it here.
Right? All right. And you're going to see when you pull that up, you'll see something that says information, a big I down there. See that big I? Hit on that. Okay, right, now look over the right-hand corner of there.
I type slowly. Okay. So I'll follow along. So go ahead. So tell me what happens.
See,
then?
Okay, look on the far right hand. Let's see there.
Well, I've got to. So I'm typing. I'm typing
Mobile
here. Let's
County
see.
LC.com.
Why am I? Oh, I'm typing an extra.
You're putting a couple extra periods in there.
So you're writing county out completely.
Yes, Mobile County.
There
you
it
go.
Is.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Hang on, folks. Okay.
All right.
And you look at there. You see a big I down at the bottom there. Click
I do.
On that I.
That would be for information, right?
Now look up in the right hand corner. You'll see where. Read those four lines to the folks there.
All right, so I'm looking, y'all, at this this page for information. It says renew online, renew by phone, renew by mail, renew driver's license online.
Now click on that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And that's going to take you to the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency's website. That's the official website of ALEA.
Right.
And the reason I ask people to go to that through our site, then to ALEA, is so that you don't end up on some bogus site from Nigeria somewhere. This is a pretty secure site. And you'll go scroll all the way down at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and you will see where it says renew online, and what it's going to ask you basically is your driver's license number, your Social Security number, and your credit card number.
Okay.
And you're going to pay all that, and it's going to print out a temporary driver's license just the same way we do, and then the Leah is going to mail that new driver's license to you. And
okay, so I don't have to go get another picture?
Not this time. Every other time you'll have to get a new picture. So the next year you'll have to come in and get a new 4 years from now, then you'll come get a new picture.
Okay, because I'm a good candidate here because I'm up at the end of this year.
Okay.
So let's hope things are back to normal. But things are back to normal, can I still do it this way?
You can do that every day, 24 hours a day, anytime you want. You can do it from Boise, Idaho, if you want to be up there doing it. But it's going to be mailed to your home of address that's on the driver's license.
Okay, so I go on there, and so you'll just use the picture you already have on file for
They
me.
Will do that, correct.
Yeah, Leah, well, and let me talk with you for a second, because I know there's been a lot of talk about the Star ID.
Correct.
And there being just the location there on Demetropolis, isn't it?
Yep.
That can do the Star ID?
All the Leah offices in Alabama, the only people that can put the Star ID on your driver's license, because they're actually doing a background check on you. We cannot do the background check for you. I can renew it after you get it, but I cannot put it on there.
So if I get mine renewed now, because mine's not a Star ID, then I would have to get a Star ID.
You have to go to Demetropolis. Yes, I would suggest making an appointment with them right now or any other time soon. That has to be done October 1st. Now, keep
it has to only. But let's say it only has to be done if you're planning to use it for travel. I don't want to scare people with who.
That's correct.
Yeah, explain. You have to have Star ID.
You have to have a Star ID to fly domestically. Now, when they say Star ID, there's 14 other documents that is on the Leah's website that you can fly without the Star on your driver's license. One of them is a passport.
Right, you get your passport.
That's one of 14. There's other documents, too. One of them is a TWIC card. Some people don't even know what it is, but if you know what it is, you don't have it. But there's a military ID will work. So the Star is just one of those 14 things.
Okay.
That's why some people don't have everything, so that's why they have to have it on their driver's license or non-driver license, because blind people don't drive, but they still have the non-driver ID.
Right. They use it when they vote. And a lot of other things. So the Star ID, that goes through. But all the other stuff right now, if we just want to renew our regular driver's license, because unless y'all are fine with it, you don't have to have the Star ID.
Correct.
They could do it just like you walked us through. What about other issues that a license commission takes care of?
Well, we also do sales tax for those businesses out there. Go to our website also, and our sales tax numbers are on there, but right now, I'll pass it out. It'll be 574-4800. All these numbers are on our website, mobilecountylc.com, and it's a plethora of information. I don't have it all memorized. That's why we have a website. So go to that website and search through it and try to, and we're answering calls, we're taking your renewals over the phone, and we're going to mail it to you. You send us a check or a credit card, and then we'll handle that and then mail it to you. And that's the way we're trying to handle it right now until this all blows over, until we can open up our lobby as best we can. We're trying to serve the public as best we can during this little bit of crisis that we're having, and that's what I figure our job is.
You take that directive, I guess, from county. The county takes the directive from the state, and that's how y'all decide when you reopen?
Pretty much. That becomes kind of a health safety issue thing, correct?
Okay.
That's kind of how that do it. They can say this is kind of over with, but it'll be a blanket authority, I'm sure, type thing. It won't be just up to individual commissioners to say, okay, I'm going to open in the face of the state. I don't want to lean forward against the state, but that's what I'm perceiving right now.
Hey, I can actually see this answer on the website, but I want you to answer it because Geronimo asking on the text line, can you do the same thing with the CDL?
I can renew it. Yes, you can, but then you'll drop your hazmat notification if you have it on there, because the hazmat, you have to have testing. Then go to Leah. Leah is still open right now. We're down Demetropolis Road. Okay. You can still go to Leah. You can get your picture taken over there. They do not have their lobby closed as of yet. So if you need other things put on your driver's license, like your endorsements, you have to go to there to not do that.
Is Jordan asking, can you change your address through renewal online?
No.
No. Okay, so if you're going to do the renewal, it needs to be just basically exactly what you had before.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that were too many permutations to try to do that online to change your address. So
what will happen here, though, if somebody is in a pickle here, they can't get in, maybe they don't go online?
They have to find somebody that knows how to do online. Call us. We'll try to walk you through it, too. I mean, this is a difficult times we're dealing with. We have to be patient. I'm asking the public to be patient with us. We don't have an answer for every permutation that's out there for all the citizens, because everybody has pretty much a different thing. But
they're all lining up here on the text line.
That's right. They all line up. You know, what if my aunt's brother's sister's on a submarine somewhere? I can't answer that right now.
What about this? My son turned 16 on the 27th. And let me just stop for a second. Unnamed texture. God bless you. Uh-huh. Some will be there in not too many years. My son turned 16 on the 27th. Can he get his license online with the gold card from driver's ed?
Oh, and see, that's out of my bailiwick there. Yeah. That would be an Aaliyah question, because all Aaliyah issues driver's licenses. I do not issue them. I can only renew them. So that has to go to them to answer that question.
All right. So from to now until we make an announcement otherwise, yep, there's no way to really know the span of this. Ways to do this is online, on phone,
mail it to us, a carrier pigeon, anyway. I'm not saying that facetiously, but
Still there. That's what I'm saying.
But we're still there. We're trying to help out the public. We're still working behind the scenes. We're getting things out, yes.
Okay, so because people have heard it said, oh, well, license commission shut down. No, the public portion in the front, but y'all are still
correct.
Working.
We're still working, correct.
Mm-hmm. All right, as always.
And we're doing sales tax. We have our people out still collecting sales tax. The businesses can still send in their sales tax through one spot. We're still taking licenses like that. We're handling it through faxing and just other permutations. So give us a call, and we'll give you over to our sales tax office, who they're there, too, to handle that for these businesses that have to get their licenses that way also.
Always good to see you.
My pleasure to be here. You betcha.
Always fun. Nick Petrega, thank you. Hopefully it'll be a better situation next time
we
talk. All right. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Feels like we did 10 shows today, which is fine. That's what we're here for. And by the way, too, the podcast of this show and all the other shows we do here, 44 hours a week of live local programming, they're always waiting for you. But we're compiling specifically interviews where we talk about what's happening with the coronavirus, COVID-19, as it applies locally. Maybe not the national conversations, but the local conversations. We're compiling those all through the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. So you'll go to fmtalk1065.com. You'll look along the top tab there, and one of the choices will say COVID-19 local news. Click that, and if we have if we have documents, we'll put them up there. But mostly what we do is talk about stuff, right? It's audio, and you can get the podcast of different interviews that we do. Could be with people from the health world, could be with people from the business world, could be with just your neighbors, friends, you, whatever the conversation is. If it's about that, we're linking it up under that tab on the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. You can also see the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. It said, Mayor Robert Kraft calls for Governor Ivey to close all Alabama state beaches. Should she? Well, 56% of y'all say yes, and the word is in now from the governor's office, and the answer is...
Yeah, a statewide health order from the governor's office this hour. Just happened about 10 minutes ago, and it looks like she says all beaches will be closed effective today at 5 p.m. and adds in the order, for clarification, the term beach means the sandy shoreline area abutting the Gulf of Mexico, whether privately or publicly owned, including beach access points. So that's the answer.
Abutting the Gulf. Okay, I hate to do this, but I'll just do this to save somebody else from doing this. All right. So what about the bay?
I don't know.
You know, it says all beaches will be closed effectively 5 p.m. For clarification, term beach means a sandy shoreline, what Dalton said, sandy shoreline area abutting the Gulf of Mexico, whether privately or publicly owned, including beach access points. Now, beach access point, that's the parking areas and all those things. But what does this mean for boat launches?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if that is... I hate to do this, but this is the stuff that's going to come up, right? So if you then launched a boat, you come around, I guess, and anchor up next to the beach, but you couldn't physically get on the beach. I mean, this is all because of the beach is safe, y'all. I don't even have to keep saying this. The beach is great and healthy, great beach. Mm-hmm. It's they're trying to keep the spring breakers. This is a backwards way around trying to keep the clusters of people, you know, at spring break.
Yeah, if you had as many people on the beach as we see in late December, January,
right.
You know, some of the months where we're sitting around 60 degrees or lower, we'd probably be all right. But when you got spring break, you have so many people coming down on these trips that they've scheduled for, you know, months and months, and they refuse to follow the social protocol that we've put out there to stay, you know, try to stay 6 feet away from each other, don't do all the touching and everything like that. And then we see what happens when some people keep breaking the rules, and we get orders like this.
Okay, and that is the and that is essentially, I mean, that just shut down. It just shut down the spring break season. I mean, I really hope, and I think people are doing their best. I'm going to default to saying people are doing their best to make the right decision. There's a lot of unknowns here, but they better, and I know they feel this pressure too, they better be trying their best to make the best decision, because this is crushing.
Yes.
On people. This is crushing on economies of cities, of individual businesses, of people that work at those places, of counties, of states. I mean, this is, Montgomery gets their portion of the sale. I mean, it gigs Montgomery, it gigs Gulf Shores, it gigs Dauphin Island, it gigs Mobile County, it gigs Baldwin County, it gigs business owners and people who work for them in a big, big way. This is huge.
Yeah, it's very huge for our area and the state. That wasn't the only thing addressed in this statewide health order, though. And we know yesterday in the city of Mobile, after 5 o'clock, local restaurants began only curbside delivery or delivery or takeout in some form, as long as you're following the protocols, but no in dining room gathering. She added all gatherings of 25, and she is the governor, all gatherings of 25 persons or more statewide now, or gatherings of any size that cannot maintain a consistent 6 foot distance between persons are prohibited. The order shall apply to all gatherings, events, or activities that bring 25 or more persons in a single room or single space at the same time. Any restaurant, bar, brewery, or similar establishment shall not permit on-premise consumption of food or drink. The governor does encourage patrons to visit their local eateries for takeout or delivery, providing they follow the social distancing rules. And then we've seen most of the schools in our state do this already, but she said preschools and child care centers will be closed effective at close of school or business today. This shall not apply to licensed child care centers that provide services exclusively to employees with state and local governments, first responders including EMS and fire services, law enforcement, hospitals, nursing home and long-term care facilities, included assisted living and specialty care assisted living facilities, end-stage renal disease treatment centers, pharmacies, and grocery stores. So some of the big news there. Also, all elective dental and medical procedures shall be delayed effective immediately. And I think there they mean non-crucial medical procedures.
Right. But the beginning of that, the 25 people, could you repeat that for
me? Yeah, I'll repeat it for you here. So all gatherings of 25 persons or more are gatherings of any size that cannot maintain a consistent 6 foot distance between persons are prohibited. The order shall apply to all gatherings, events, or activities that bring 25 or more persons in a single room or single space at the same time.
This is I feel for law enforcement too. I feel for all people in public works, people in the medical field, people in public safety. I feel for law enforcement on this. You got to go count the number of people. This is, you know, oh my gosh.
It's a lot. It's a whole lot. And it's a lot that we're putting on our first responders too, as you just said. But so this doesn't just mean restaurants, bars, and breweries, but any kind of gathering. And I also wonder if that's not directed at the spring breakers. If you're not going to let us party on the beach, we're just going to find somewhere else to party.
Yeah. And by the way, too, all the y'all asking about the boat ramps, don't worry. I'm trying to find that out. So I'll be digging in that. Y'all got an involved party there trying to figure out the ball. I don't think so by looking at what the decree from the governor said, but we'll find out if they come up with an addendum. You know, people talking about Robinson Island, you know, the Baldwin County folks talking about Robinson Island. I would talk about Sand Island, being a South Mobile County guy. That fits the definition, y'all, of a beach, because it says abutting the Gulf of Mexico. So if we're going to stick with the definition laid out in there, I hate to try to defend that thing, but that would mean, I mean, to me, that means Sand Island. Y'all, that means Robinson Island. That means, says, public or private, sandy shoreline abutting the Gulf of Mexico.
That's the words that were used.
And yeah, maybe you can argue that Robinson Island, because it's inside the pass, and it's really not abutting the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know if you win that one or not. We'll see.
Yeah, and I wonder whether there will be hard enforcement in some areas and soft enforcement in other areas.
Probably. So... let's not hit the beach. Across the USA. Right. Paul Feinbaum's on next. We'll pick this up tomorrow morning at 6 for Mobile Mornings. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And heck, if we got some extra time on our hands, TikTok.
We might try TikTok.
All right. Y'all have a great one. Feinbaum next. Serving USA.